Well, it's great to open together in praise and to continue with our sermon series on the theme of prayer, to now turn our attention to praying to the Lord. And so it's really great to welcome Doug and Olivia this morning. There they are. Great. Always a relief when someone appears on screen next to me. Hi, Doug and Olivia. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Good, good. And we can hear you too. It's lovely to see you both. And a real joy. Thank you for being with us to lead our prayers. And I know that lockdown's been in many ways a roller coaster of all sorts of things. And we've been praying for you. And just with Doug's dad dying right at the start of lockdown, as I recall, and all that's gone with that. Tell us a bit about how you're doing, perhaps particularly how you felt sustained and encouraged in your faith in the Lord during this time.
We're doing well. We're fine. School ends this week, and that's a helpful thing as we enter the summer holidays. I think we've been encouraged by lockdown, by the time that we've had to read more widely about kind of Christian issues and how the Christian gospel impacts the way we engage with society and culture. We've really appreciated having more time to do that than we would normally. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting time, mm-hmm. But we've enjoyed some of the aspects of it, like everyone else, I think.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to you to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word given to us for our growth. Thank you for the Psalms, so helpful in teaching us how to pray and respond to our circumstances in a godly and upright way. Thank you that you listen to those who are poor and troubled, that you answer those who are fearful and afraid, but turn to you. We pray for our hearts to be ready to listen this morning, ready to see in ourselves where we need to make changes to how we respond to things going on around us. We ask that you would be making us more like Jesus in how quickly we turn to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you and praise you for the safe arrival of Campbell Hannah at the start of July. Thank you so much for the wonderful medical care received at hospital, and that Campbell's well and now settled and at home. Thank you for Finley, Callum and Archie adjusting really quickly to the new addition. Please give Johnny and Kirsty lots of energy, patience and wisdom as they seek to raise these boys to know and love you for themselves. And we pray for all of our Christchurch families ahead of the summer holidays. Please give families quality time together, periods of rest from homeschooling and work, and more time to talk of all that the Lord has done for us. Father, we thank you as well for the wedding of Tim and Charmaine yesterday, marking the start of their marriage. We thank you for the easing of restrictions, allowing some family and friends to gather together in celebration. We ask for your guidance for Tim and Charmaine as they start life together. Please use their marriage for growth in godliness. Would they each day become more like Jesus because of their marriage? We also want to thank you for the recent Christianity Explored course. Thank you that Zoom worked well and that people who might not have been able to attend otherwise were able to. We know that your word doesn't return to you empty. Please, with those who came, continue to think about you and what your word means. Please give wisdom to members of our church family who know these individuals as they seek to follow up what was discussed. We also pray for wisdom for Adam, the PCC and the elders as they plan what a reopening of church might look like. Please would you help them to make safe decisions which are right for the well-being of our church family and the wider community that we seek to serve. Lord, we remember the sick and unwell in our church family. We pray for Janet Benjamin and her back. Please give her patience in her circumstances and help her to cry out to you. We pray for those who are grieving, for those grieving Richard Ginn, a former curate of Christchurch, following his funeral earlier this week. We pray that you'd comfort his wife, Linda, in particular, and others who know him well. And we pray for Joseph Greenaway and his family as they grieve Catherine, his mother, and prepare for her funeral later in the month. Father, you know of all these situations and all the other situations in our hearts. Please help us to individually and collectively turn to you for all our help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And finally, Lord, we pray for the wider world and your church, particularly the church in North Korea. Thank you for the faith of those Christians who live there. Please help them to call out to you in the face of persecution. We pray for those imprisoned because of believing you are Lord over human leadership. We thank you for your hand this week in stopping changes to a domestic abuse bill, which would have allowed abortions in some circumstances up to 28 weeks of pregnancy. Thank you that the amendment was withdrawn. Father, you tell us in your word that you are the one who knits babies together in their mother's wombs. We pray for the church worldwide to speak out about the rights of the unborn. We remember others suffering racial injustice around the world. Would we be those that speak up in the face of all injustice, calling out to you about these various troubles, knowing that you hear all our prayers? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Doug and Olivia, thank you very, very much, and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, we're going to turn to God's word now, and indeed to Psalm 34 that we'll be looking at over four chunks. We started last week, three more to go, including this week. And I'll read the whole of Psalm 34, and then we'll just be looking at a few verses, again with a pre-recorded sermon from Andy Mason. But just be turning up Psalm 34. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry, the words will appear on the screen as I read. A Psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, so blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Well, as I say, we'll go now to a pre-recorded sermon from the Reverend Andy Mason, and then we'll respond together with a new song after that.
Well, let's pray as we look at Psalm 34 together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity now to learn to pray. Please teach us from your word that we might learn to come to you, to bring our lives to you, to seek you. Amen. Well, last week we started thinking about prayer, and we thought about how people pray in the middle of crises. They may not have prayed in 6 months, but suddenly in a crisis, people start praying. And the reason we do that is because we feel our need. We feel our vulnerability in a new way. And our vulnerability over these last few months has already changed us, hasn't it? We've focused on things that we have never focused on before. You've probably not thought much about hand washing before, particularly if you are a man. If 6 months ago you saw someone singing happy birthday while they washed their hands, you would have thought that they needed psychological help. But our need has pushed us to pay attention to something that we would never have really focused on before. Suddenly, hand gel means a lot to us. Everyone's become a bit OCD. You see, crises change us, don't they? They change us in lots of ways. But wouldn't it be great if we came out of this crisis with something more than better hand washing habits? Wouldn't it be great if we learnt to pray? You see, this crisis is a brilliant spiritual opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to grow in our prayer lives. And so we're going to keep focusing on Psalm 34. And we see basically that this psalm teaches us all about answered prayer and how that answered prayer spurs us on to pray. You can read about the situation that elicited that answered prayer at the top of the psalm. It's called the superscription. I'll read that for you. It says this: of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. So David had a run-in with the pagan king Abimelech, most likely refers to King Achish in 1 Samuel 21. He pretended to lose his mind and he prayed for rescue, and the Lord rescued him. He'd been in real trouble. He was threatened. He needed escape, and God came through for him. Now, last week we looked at how David reacted to that, how he praised and rejoiced, and this psalm is filled with praise. And we thought about the importance of praise. Now, today we're going to think about the next bit of the psalm, verses 4 to 7. So let me read those verses to you. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, here we get two big encouragements for prayer. The first thing is this: prayer is for the poor and troubled. And the second thing is that prayer is heard and answered. Firstly, then, prayer is for the poor and troubled. Now, we can sometimes think that prayer is for kind of special, holy people, super saints, pastors like me, serious Christians. It's basically something for spiritual professionals. And so there we think, well, prayer isn't really for me. You know, I'm just an ordinary baby believer. I'm not good with my words. I'm not good at sitting still. You know, I don't have the prayer gene in me. But you know what? That is a distortion, and it is actually untrue. You see, this psalm tells us something very different. Look at who's doing the praying here in Psalm 34. It's not a monk in a quiet monastery. It's not a super spiritual pastor in his study, but it's the poor in trouble. Verse 6, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Now, the poor here does not so much refer to someone who doesn't have any cash, someone who doesn't have much of a bank account. The poor here is really about neediness, vulnerability, emptiness. You could be actually quite rich in terms of money, but poor in the sense in which this psalm refers to the poor. So it's a vulnerable person, a needy person who's calling out. Now, that's not just here, but actually this in this verse, but it goes all the way through this psalm. Verse 17, we're told that the righteous have many troubles. Verse 18, God's people are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. See, this psalm is not the prayer of a spiritual professional, but it's the prayer of a person who is being pummeled by life. There's obviously desperate need in us here. In other words, prayer is for amateurs, for ordinary people, for the troubled. Do you remember the parable that Jesus tells about the Pharisee and the tax collector? the Pharisee in Luke 18 goes and boasts about himself to God and what he's been doing. Well, the troubled tax collector simply asks for mercy. And Jesus says it is the tax collector who is heard, not the Pharisee, the spiritual professional. So this psalm helps us to see how we do prayer. You see, we can think that in order to pray, we need to kind of feel in the mood, we need to feel all kind of warm and fuzzy. We need to feel full of faith, that we need to have a kind of peace about our lives. And so we think that, well, if I'm anxious and overwhelmed, it's a kind of obstacle to prayer. But actually, what we see in Psalm 34 is that prayer is done in danger when your life is threatened. In fact, being overwhelmed and anxious is the condition of prayer. That's how you learn to pray. See, David didn't wait until his troubles were over before he prayed, but he prayed in his troubles, in the middle of them. David had a great big cup of trouble, full to the brim, but he added prayer. He poured prayer into it. So don't wait until your cup is empty of troubles. That's madness. Rather, pray in the middle of your troubles. In fact, I think that we can't ever really learn to pray without suffering. We need pain and trouble and difficulty to truly become prayerful. It's only then that we really learn to pray with passion. It's only then that our hearts get really engaged. In prosperity and comfort, we might say certain things, we might talk the talk, but without any feeling. But in suffering, we learn to truly cry out to God. Prayer grows in rocky ground. In rocky ground. That is a great ground. That is fertile ground for prayer. Wouldn't it be great if we came out of this crisis with something more than better hand washing habits? If we came out of this crisis with more than just knowing a few TV series a bit better, wouldn't it be great if we had fuller, deeper, richer praying in our lives? Wouldn't it be great if we didn't just learn how to navigate Tesco's online shopping better? Let your troubles train you to pray in this crisis. Now, the second thing we learn in this psalm is that prayer is heard and answered. We only pray because we think we will be heard. We wouldn't pray otherwise, would we? If there is no God, or if he is a kind of distant, uncaring kind of God, if he's a God with earmuffs, then prayer is a waste of time, isn't it? It's a waste of time. The fact that God hears and answers our prayer is vital for our actual praying. We only pray because we think we will be heard. So if you can't move an almighty, all-powerful God with your words, you'll never speak. You might as well bow down before a brick wall. Asking only makes sense if there is someone who might listen to what we say. We all feel at times, don't we, that we haven't really been heard by other people. We haven't really been listened to by family, or we've been misunderstood by friends. Our kids might sometimes say something to us and we don't really kind of listen. We're kind of distracted or busy with something, looking on our phone, doing the washing up. And eventually they shout to get our attention, don't they? We see our kids might have that problem with us, but you will never have that problem with the Lord. The great news today is that you have a prayer-hearing God. That's David's testimony in Psalm 34. His praise that we looked at last week in verses 1 to 3 is grounded in this experience of being heard and receiving answers. And in verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He didn't do anything special. He simply cried out. And so we see here God's abundant and powerful answers to our cries. See, most people don't have that privilege, do they? Most people don't know about a prayer hearing, prayer answering God. I came across some New Age teaching that suggests that basically if you want to get something, what you need to do is ask the universe. You know, you meditate, get your energy right, feel your desires, and let go. It's called kind of manifesting. Now, I have no idea what that means or how that is supposed to work. But the fact is, you and I, we're not left with an empty universe. We're not left trying to cry out to the void, hoping that something might come back to us. No, 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 no. We have a prayer-hearing Father. We know him, and he knows us. And whatever our needs, whatever our pains, whatever our sadnesses, we have a God we can go to. Here in Psalm 34, God is telling us, come to me. I am a Lord of mercy. I have compassion for the weak. I pity you in your struggle, and I hear your cries. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. You won't be embarrassed by your God. He won't make you look a fool. He won't make you look like an idiot. See, some of us are worried about that. We think, well, if I really trust the Lord, you know, if I really put all my eggs in the prayer basket, if I throw my weight behind that, I'm going to look like a complete blockhead. But it says here that those who look to him are radiant. You will shine with glory. You won't awkwardly hang your head, being a bit embarrassed that you had the temerity to trust God. You have a prayer-hearing God today. You can go to him. And the one who seeks the Lord here has been given huge, astounding promises. David was the poor man, wasn't he? But he didn't pray to a poor God. He was powerless, but he didn't pray to a powerless God. He was empty, but he went to the God whose cupboard was endlessly full. Notice the repetition of all in these verses. Verse 4, he delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, he saved him out of all his troubles. And that's repeated all the way through. Verse 20, he protected all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Now, of course, the Bible tells us there is plenty of pain and suffering in this life. We're not exempt from that. We are not promised a bed of roses. We're not promised freedom from trouble. Jesus and his apostles didn't get that. And we won't get that. But what these verses do is they raise our vision. Don't be afraid to ask God to step in. Don't be afraid to ask for his blessing. Of course, we need to stand against the kind of insidious and destructive health and wealth teaching you get in some church contexts. You know, the kind of teaching says, well, you know, just trust God and you'll never be sick and you'll always be rich. It's not true. It's wrong. But we have to be careful not to react in the wrong way to that. We want to react biblically. We don't want to tone down our expectancy in prayer because fantastic things have been promised to us. It may be that the Lord just has to make us wait for the gold. We have to wait for it. But let's ask for the gold. The blessings may not be poured out on us according to his timings, and that doesn't mean there's any lack in God's generosity to you. His wait and his no to you are as much a sign of his love as his yes is. But don't lose sight of God's abundance for you. Don't lose sight that God loves to bless you. Don't lose sight of the fact that God answers prayer. He is the source of every gift. And so David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. So there are many things we need in our lives, aren't there? Don't you feel that? Happiness, faith, love, patience with our kids, hope for tomorrow, economic security, emotional stability and peace. Well, our need is prayer's opportunity. Our need should drive us to our knees. Let's ask the Lord. Let's seek him for his blessings. Let's ask and pour out our troubles to him. Let's bring to him the issues of our lives. Resolve this week that you will go to your prayer-hearing God. Resolve that you won't come away from this sermon with just a kind of few nice thoughts about prayer. Resolve that you will do something, that you will plan to pray, that you'll make a list of things to pray for, that you will set aside time to pray, that you will actually ask God Wait for the answers. You have a great, wonderful, prayer-hearing God. Let the poor person go to him with all their troubles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you have promised us amazing things, that we have this privilege of being able to ask and to seek and to knock. And you have said that you will give, that you will bless, that you will answer. We praise you. Help us, Father, to know the privileges of prayer and the power of prayer. Oh, Father, we pray, sustain us as people in this crisis who are learning to pray, who are gaining new habits in our lives, new disciplines. Teach us to pray, we ask, in the name of Christ. Amen.